Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Well, it's good morning and welcome to the Value of Praise right here on the Adventist World Radio, bringing you another insightful discussion on today's segment of Life's Talk. And now we all know how difficult it can be to find the right words when we care about someone who is grieving. And so most of us want to comfort them, to help ease their pain. But sometimes without realizing it, the things we say can actually do more harm than good. And today we're diving into the common mistakes people make when they try to comfort those who are grieving, and what we should avoid saying, and how we can truly offer a support to someone who's in grieving or mourning. And to help us navigate this delicate subject, we have a special guest on the line, a professional counselor, that is Smisos Banda. I'm sure you've heard me talk to her before, and we always appreciate her coming through and sharing her powerful insights. And I just want to reiterate, Smisos Banda is a professional counselor. Welcome to the show, Smiso, and it's great to have you here.
Thank you, Tamu. Good morning, listeners, and it's always a pleasure to be here on this platform.
Thank you very much. I think it was around the 7th of August, Smiso, the Healing Moms platform posted, and I will read verbatim. You say that often people try to console us in our moments of grief, but due to lack of information out there, they tend to make it worse. And you say a month ago, we did a survey to understand how best to communicate with grieving parents by asking the following questions. What were the worst words said to you by someone trying to comfort you after your loss? What did you need help with? How best do you think friends and family can support a grieving parent? And so the question was posed there. In your own experience, how best could you have answered these questions if you were to console someone who was grieving? How were you going to do it differently? And really, grief is a deeply personal experience, and we cannot equate our experiences from one person to the other. And for me, that was quite intriguing when I read that post. Definitely, we do make a lot of those mistakes, saying things that make people hurt more, Smisho.
That's so true. And you see, it's very unfortunate that with grief, we never know what to say to the next person, and it's never intentional. So when you do try to say a word of consolation or comfort, it's never intended to hurt the next person, but it just comes out, and we find ourselves saying the most dreaded things by a grieving person. Is it wrong? Is it right? I don't know. Maybe that's why we decided to bring this awareness, so that we are aware and we're able to help our friends and families who are going through this type of losses and grief, so that we're able to be that support with the words that we say.
Mm-hmm. And many of us resort to cliches, like we say everything happens for a reason, they're in a better place, and I don't know what's meant by that. And these cliches seem to always make things a bit more painful than healing, like we intend to. Or is it because sometimes we run out of words, then we default to the cliche?
You're very correct, Tamu. It's the cliches that usually have no meaning, you know, which is why you will find people will say those things. And, you know, we've always been taught, I'm sure this is something you also know, even without going to grief help school, that, you know, you're better off even saying a simple sorry and just sitting there and be quiet. Which is why you find in the African culture and context, when people go and console the grieving, they're the basic simple lines that you get there and say, just like in English, you will say, I am sorry for your loss. Mm-hmm. Or you will simply say, I know in Shona, I think they say, nematambudziko. Mm-hmm. And in Ndebele, they will say, oh, lang en hlupho lezo, or lang en nkathazo lezo, you know, so that you don't go further. Just that one line usually suffices. But we always find ourselves feeling like we need to say more. They need to hear more. You know, what can I say to make them feel better? but that's not the case.
And I find it quite interesting that you guys did a survey, and I would just like us to just jump into that survey and find out what were your findings from this survey and what were your learnings. Maybe let's just take it step by step.
Okay. All right. So firstly, the reason we decided to do the survey was because if we're going to bring awareness and if we're going to ensure that the community and the entire, well, space and world that we live in is aware of the losses that, rather the pain that pregnancy and infant loss brings to a grieving mom, then surely people should also be aware of how they should console us and comfort us. So when we did this survey, it's also because, in our community, in the support group, we'd had women, a lot of them complained, rather air out their views on how all these words were said to them and it hurts them most. I'll share my experience first, because our first question in the survey was, what were the worst words said to you by someone trying to comfort you after a loss? I experienced a stillbirth, Tamil, and I remember the very first visitor that came to see me in the hospital the next morning, said to me, "Oh, well, it's better because you didn't have to take the baby home." Okay, so you can guess that, Tamil. So in they were comforting because they're saying, you didn't have, they thought they were saying, I didn't have to take the baby home, so I had no attachment with the baby, so I wouldn't grieve for the baby that much because the baby had not come home. You know what I mean? But meanwhile, to me, the grieving mother, I was grieving for all that. I was grieving for the fact that I could not take the baby home. I was grieving for the 9 months I had carried the baby. I was grieving for a lifetime that I will never get to experience with that baby. So half the time, words said I intended to comfort. Meanwhile, it's the opposite direction.
And just maybe to follow up on that, on just what you've just said, do you think that as human beings we tend not to put ourselves in the shoes of the other person, and we tend to look at somebody's grief in our own way, and those words are rather meant directed at ourselves more than they are directed at the person who's grieving?
I think I'd like to agree with you there, because you're right. It's the way we look at things in our own world, right? In our own way, in our own little eyes, and thinking, surely this person shouldn't be grieving because they've got other children. Because one of the ladies actually said, people were saying to her, "Well, at least you have another child. At least you have other children." You know what I mean? But every loss is different, no matter the size, whether you've lost a 95-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 30-year-old, the loss is just a loss. So,
Yeah, it's painful. It is painful. So now let's look at the statements, because the question is asking to say, what is the worst that has ever been said to you?
All right. So now
And
I'll just pick
I
a
would like you
few.
to probably share a few so that,
Yes. All right. So the other one says that the first lady, she
Yeah, so you
said
can go
that
ahead.
I mentioned it's better you have another child. Yes. And someone said, because this woman had experienced multiple losses. To this day, she doesn't have a child. She's had two miscarriages and two stillbirths. And they say, someone said to her, "Stop trying and accept what you have. You're hurting your body." You know what I mean? Stop trying, accept what you have. You're hurting your body. You know what I mean? But you want a child, and people are telling you to stop trying.
No, I'm at loss for words there. I didn't think we could just be so harsh and so inconsiderate. You can go on, Smith, if there's more.
All right. So this one says, and imagine this was from a doctor. So the doctor says, it's okay, you can try again. And that at least she had other children.
Yeah.
And that's
You
coming
know,
from a
it's
doctor.
Miss.
So you
I'm
would
just going
think,
to,
yes.
I want to read it, read it out for you. This is somebody who experienced the loss of a child. So, I discovered I was pregnant after years of trying for a second child. I had given up and accepted that God had blessed me with an 8-year-old boy. I had serious morning sickness. I went on a bed rest and had to close down a new restaurant that I just started. I was so excited, but unfortunately lost my pregnancy for 4 months of 4 months. I was so shattered and didn't understand why God would allow such to happen. So she's now asking me to play a song for her because this song is a song that carried her through painful seasons. She then says, "I pregnant again after 2 months, and the pregnancy called again this time around. And the only thing I could ask for from God was Him to keep me like a week. Dealing with the trauma from the previous was too much, plus the pain." The painful frequent visits to the doctor, having cervical, I don't know, cellar cage, I don't know what procedure, I don't know what that is, being on bed rest. And this time around, I gained hope. I had gained hope that we'll make it, I'll make it through, but then lost the baby at 6 months. I couldn't cope emotionally. I just needed to face each day at a time. And so the story of Job kept me going till today. I had to deal with the embarrassment of losing a child for the second time, then the third time again. Wow. And so it's like when I was reading this on air and she songs, and I looked at her story. It's like we, because we've never walked the shoes that these people walk, we don't understand the pain that these people are going through.
No, we don't, Tamu. It's like she says that she clearly explains her pain. It's the embarrassment, it's the shattering, it's the second loss where you think that God, this time you're going to see me through. So imagine all that going through in her head, and society still just does not care and extend grace to a person who's experience that type of a loss. And she likens her situation to Job's situation. Now, when we all know the story of Job, how he lost everything and he became nothing, you know what I mean? So imagine somebody likening their pain and situation to that of Job. Very intense pain, very deep.
And the in the survey, you ask the question, what did you need help with? What is it that these grieving moms needed?
So I'll start with this lady. She says that the hardest thing with her miscarriage was mourning alone. She felt so alone, and she says, "I wish I had a shoulder to cry on." I ended up going into deep depression and developing severe anxiety. I just needed a shoulder to cry on and someone to walk the grieving journey with me. She needed help with that. A shoulder to cry on, somebody who understood her, you know, or not even if you didn't perhaps didn't understand her, just be there for her. And this one also says that I needed someone who had been through it and would understand me. I just needed lots of tender love and care.
You're listening to Valley of Praise on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.